Let's pray. God, as we look at this passage this morning, would you open our hearts and minds to what you have to say to us by your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said at the start of the service, it is interesting seeing the passage we have and talking about where it is in what is Palestine, Israel. We are set near the Sea of Galilee, which is also called Gennesaret. There were, in biblical times, a couple of places where you had the majority of Jewish folks, which would have been in the region around Galilee and then the region of Judea. So there were some Jewish people living here, but there were an awful lot of Gentile folks, as in non-Jews, were living in the area. And that would be why there were pigs there. Because just in case you don't know, pigs are unclean animals for the Old Testament people, for the Jewish people. So we see an example of good and evil playing out in the Lord's Prayer. We say, deliver us from evil. We're aware that we are in a spiritual battle. We, in many cases, are in physical battles around the world where we see good and evil. But there's a spiritual realm, and so we pray the Lord's Prayer as the Anglican Church every single time we meet. We pray the Lord's Prayer. We'll pray the Lord's Prayer today as we prepare for communion. We pray the Lord's Prayer every day in morning prayer here, which is 9 o'clock every morning. We say the Lord's Prayer, and we talk about deliver us from evil. And we don't often like to think about things like the stuff that's gone on in this reading, and I think that's interesting, because as we read the Bible, we kind of wonder, well, what do we think about demons, and what does it mean to be demon-possessed? And on one level, we don't think about it, and on the other, not we, but we as society, make an awful lot of television programs and movies and Netflix dramas that talk about things like we see in this reading with people who are maybe demon-possessed and what they get up to. So here is Jesus. He has just calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and now they've sailed to this region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee, so it's on the other side of the town Galilee. And Jesus steps ashore, and this man meets him. It says, for a long time, the man had not worn clothes or lived in a house. So, you know, I don't know about you, but if I got off a boat and I was greeted with someone not wearing any clothes, I'd probably be slightly taken aback. Wouldn't you? So this is what Jesus sees as he gets off the boat. And the man sees Jesus, in verse 28, it says, he cried and fell at his feet, Jesus' feet, shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? The voice that came out of the man knew exactly who Jesus was and the power he had. And he says, don't torture me, I beg you. Don't torture me. In the stories of old, it's told that demons would try and negotiate when they encountered situations like this. They try and negotiate their way to a kind of a lesser punishment that might befall them. So hence him saying, I beg you, don't torture me. Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. It says that this man had been seized by this spirit for years. The community would have known him well. He was chained for his safety and everyone else's, as in had chains and was chained and couldn't move very far because they were so afraid of him. He was chained, it says, hand and foot. The power that he had in him was so strong, he'd managed to break through the chains. So you can imagine how if there was, I mean, we wouldn't do that here today, but if there was somebody in our community who was that, behaved like that, you could see how we wouldn't know what to do. He clearly had a lot of power, and it was clearly quite a destructive, evil power. The word, we don't get it in this gospel, it's in Matthew's gospel. In Matthew's gospel, the word Jesus says to the demon to get out is simply go. He just uses the word go. That's all he says. That's the power that we see Jesus having. He just has to say one word, and I think there's a song at his name, the demons flee. I can't remember the rest of it, but one of my musician friends will help me out later. At his name, the demons flee. One word, go. Go. Jesus enters into a conversation with the demon that comes out of the man and says, "What's your name?" "Legion," he replied, "because we are many." And again, we get this begging, "Please don't send us into the abyss." There was a large herd of pigs. And for some of you, you've heard this before. There's a large herd of pigs, and the demon begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. And I'm not sure that it's that Jesus necessarily sent the demon into the pigs, but was more like, fine. That's how I kind of read it in between the text. And this is a difficult passage for anyone, whether you're a vegetarian and animal lover, and you're probably quite traumatized at the idea these pigs are going to be drowned, or whether you are a meat eater and you're also traumatized that the poor farmer isn't going to have any bacon to sell. Either way, most of us are frustrated by seeing this passage, and it's quite hard to see anything else when we get to the pigs. Do you not find? Because why were there this perfectly happy herd of pigs, and Jesus seemingly allows them to be destroyed? As I said, we're in mostly Gentile country. This is not predominantly a Jewish area, and that's why there's pigs. And to the Jewish hearers of the scripture, they would not be entirely surprised that, as the story is told, when Jesus sends the demon out, that he goes into pigs. Pigs are an unclean animal. They're not an animal that Jewish people will eat. And so it makes entire sense, if you look at it through that perspective, to those early hearers. Well, of course. So they probably wouldn't have been too surprised at all that the demon has gone and has gone into an unclean animal and gone into the river or the sea. So what? Just a different way to think about it. One commentator says that ancient stories about demons suggest they always like to negotiate the least difficult terms if they were going to have to leave the one they possessed. And so that's why then they're saying, okay, would you at least send us into the pigs? The main thing we need to focus on here is not the pigs. What would have happened ultimately to that man, the demon-possessed man, had the demon stayed in him, would have been the fate that happened to the pigs. Jesus' primary concern was freeing the man from his captivity. The liberation of the man took precedence. What would the demons have done? In this case, the demon have done to the person that it was in, if it had been left. Ultimately, probably destroyed him. And so Jesus demonstrates his power and authority and his willingness to free people from the ties that bind. The local reaction, obviously, is understandable. Jesus wouldn't be a comfortable person to have around. Verse 37, then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. And so he got in the boat and left. Imagine if there were other farmers there, some sheep herders or some other pig farmers. They'd be like, get this man out of here, because I have a herd of pigs and I'd quite like to look after them. They did not love Jesus at that point. And yet, Jesus had freed, in a really demonstrable way, this person who was so consumed all his life. So what do we make of this? 2,000 years later, we don't often, unless we're watching Netflix, think about demons. And it can be hard when we hear the story. We go, well, that's an interesting story. I wish the pigs didn't have to end up in the river, in the lake. But what does it mean for us? I think the biggest thing is it shows the power and authority that Jesus had. And that the evil one, sort of represented by the demon, knew the power that Jesus had. And it didn't stand a chance. Didn't stand a chance. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia books and a number of other books, we've got some stuff over there. I said last week, certain theology you need a strong coffee for. I recommend if you read Mere Christianity, which is a great classic book of C.S. Lewis, you do have a nice strong cup of coffee or tea before you start, and probably one through each chapter because it gets quite heavy. Very good. But anyway, C.S. Lewis says that there's two equal and opposite dangers talking about the devil or evil. Either we talk about him too much or not enough. And so in a sense, what he's saying is we need to be aware that these things are there. That as we say in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, that there is a spiritual battle going on. And Jesus shows us here that he has the power. He has the power. So what for us? Should we go around and start casting out demons? Well, talk to me first, please. If you think you're in that situation, because the answer is probably not. There's a whole 3-hour session on that kind of stuff. If you're interested, I could do another time. But I think it's knowing that the one we worship, the one we stood and sang songs to and repeated choruses to because we were so into the singing, and we carried on this morning singing, oh, praise the name, that is the one who gives us authority. Because we know the King of Kings. We know the Lord of Lords. Our friend is Jesus. He's the one who can make sure as we encounter difficult situations in life, that we'll be okay. As we get into those moments where we wonder and we feel like spiritually we're being attacked, we can call on the name of Jesus and know that there is power in his name. Jesus' aim in this passage, as we see it in Luke, was to free the man who was trapped. And I doubt that there's anyone here who's experiencing this kind of thing in quite this way. Otherwise, we'd have seen you'd have walked in with chains on, so that hasn't happened. But all of us, at different times, can experience different kinds of attacks. In our mind, in our spirit. And when those things come, I would encourage you to talk about it, to pray about it, to have others pray with you, that you might be reassured that the same Jesus who demonstrates this power here has all the power and all the glory, and that he cares about you also being free, free from whatever it is that's binding you today. I'm going to finish with a prayer. We'll just keep a moment's silence. God, we thank you for stories like this that demonstrate the power of Jesus, that demonstrate his authority. Help us to be confident because we know Jesus as our friend and our Lord and our Savior. Help us with the things that we go through and struggle with things that feel like chains that bind us. We pray that you would free us, that we might know the peace and joy of the Holy Spirit in our lives.